Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. I'm the presiding minister, Minister Angela McCarty, and it's another episode of Ignite Your Faith by Associate Pastor Horvath. How are you doing today, Kim?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so excited about what you have to say about igniting our faith.
You know, I'm excited, too. This comes at the perfect time because it's the Lenten season.
Yes.
And, you know, God has a whole lot to say today about how to move forward during this season and how you can come out with your faith truly ignited.
All right.
All right. We ready to go?
I am ready to go. You have the floor.
I was more than ready to go.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, you know, we all know that the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
You know, and faith is so very important. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said to them, listen, you believe because you have seen all of the things that I've done. You know, you've been traveling with me. You have been watching all my miracles. And, you know, we only know some of the miracles he performed. We do not know all of them. You know, I think it's important for us to understand that the Bible gives us a broad stroke of what was going on in those times, and it tells us about key points, but it doesn't tell us everything.
Yes.
And I think that that's important because there are many people out there that do things only to the letter of the Bible, and what you have to understand is that the Bible really is the presence of God, his spirit. And so you need to move within the spirit of what the Bible is telling you about how God and how Jesus moves.
Yes.
You know, and that spirit really is all about love. Move in the spirit of love, and you can't go wrong.
Absolutely.
God, you know, that was the Holy Spirit that worked, because I had no intention of saying that. You know, I don't know if you need to hear it.
Yes.
But just know that. You have to move within the spirit of what the Bible is telling us to do.
All right.
I think sometimes we're a little bit too rigid about, you know, well, the Bible says this, it doesn't say that, therefore I'm not going to do that. But if it's parallel, if it's the same presence, the same spirit, and hey, we have the spirit of discernment, so we know when something is right and when something's not right.
Yeah.
You know, there's no need to question. You know the spirit of God when you encounter the spirit of God and when you're moving in the spirit of God. So just move with it and don't worry about what else is saying. So when we are talking about our faith, you know, Jesus says, you know, listen, you guys believe because of all of that, but I feel that all the people that come afterwards who believe just because of what they've read, those are the people that are going to be truly blessed.
Absolutely.
Okay? God values faith. Faith is believing without having the proof of what it is you're believing for, but yet you believe it as if it's right there in front of you. You know, there are days when it's raining outside or you have some kind of weather going on, and you may not have seen it. You may not have looked out the window. But you know what? You walk out there all bundled up with your umbrella and everything else that you need because you know that when you get on the other side of the door, you're going to encounter that which you've heard for.
Yes.
And notice that I said it's not that you believe it. You know it.
You know
when you get on the other side of the door, you're going to encounter rain.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to encounter cold. You're
mm-hmm.
going to encounter the snow. But you have never even seen it yet. You haven't looked out the window. That's how God wants you to be with regard to your faith. He wants you to know that this thing that you are that you're believing for is not just that you're believing. It's not just that you're hoping. But you know it for a fact to be true. You know that this is going to happen for you in your life, because God has already told you so.
Amen.
And therefore, you're not going to doubt it. You don't know when it's going to come. You don't know by what way it's going to come, but you know it's coming. It's the same thing. That's how you have to believe with everything that God has in mind for you. If God told you that something is yours, you have to believe that it's yours and never give up, never lose faith, never lose hope.
Amen.
You have to know that it's going to be true. One day in your life, before you shut your eyes for the final time, you will have the truth of this.
Wow.
Our struggle, has always been in the timing of how God tends to do things.
Mm-hmm.
That was the struggle that Abraham and Sarah had. You know, they were waiting for a child. And they said, well, maybe God means for it to come this way. You know, maybe he believes that it's supposed to come through my handmaid. God didn't say that. God said that he promised Abraham a child through his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided, you know what, maybe we misheard God. So this is what happens when your faith gets shaken. You start second-guessing what God said. You start second-guessing what God intended. You start second-guessing what you interpreted. And you know full well what God said. You believed it for many years, but then all of a sudden something comes and shakes your faith enough that you say, well, maybe I got this thing wrong. No, no, no. You don't have it wrong. Hold on tight.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is coming just as he said that he's coming. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. It doesn't matter at all. Because God is not in the natural. He's in the supernatural.
Yes.
What happened with Abraham and Sarah? How old were they when they had a child?
Wow.
Right? I mean, come on. They were long beyond childbearing years. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Sarah said, am I to no pleasure in my old age? And she not only gave birth to a child, but was able to rear that child, to raise that child, and look at the child that they had.
Yes.
So never, ever, ever give up. I'm going to talk to you today about how to use this Lenten season to ignite your faith, to come back into the fold of being able to discern and to hear and have confidence in God. This is a very precious season. We only get it once a year.
Right.
And many people go about the Lenten season, and they go about it fasting and praying and doing these things. And then they go through it just like any other ritual. You know, we do Christmas that way. We do Easter that way.
Right.
You go through it.
Right.
But I want you not to go through it. I want the Lenten season to come into you.
Wow.
That's what God is saying to you. Don't just go through this season this year. Let it come into you. Let me sit within the temple that I created. That's what he wants to do. He wants to reside in your temple. So that's what we're going to talk about, this Lenten season, how to get more out of the season and how to really ignite your faith. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Letting God... letting God reside. I got to go back because you're saying we're going to let God reside in us instead
yes.
of us just going through the ritual.
Just going, yes, that is tweetable. Let God reside in your temple. Let him reside in your temple. Don't just go through it. You know, a lot of life, we actually just go through it.
Yes.
You know? We just have these experiences, and we just keep moving on as if nothing ever happened. My mom and I give women's retreats every year.
Right.
And I remember I think we're on our 13th retreat or 12th retreat right now, and somewhere around the 5th or 6th year, we came home, and we looked at each other, and we both said the same thing. We said, you know what? We have these powerful weekends. I mean, God is showing up. Women are slain in the spirit. People are completely changed.
Right.
And then we come home, and, you know, on a Sunday, and we just go to work the next day, and if we ain't do nothing, we ain't experience nothing, life is just the same. Uh-uh. Something is wrong with that.
Yes, you know? It is.
So we realized that we were going through it and having all of this stuff happen within our spirit. And truthfully, I mean, we could ride off of the presence of God that we have for that weekend for at least 6 months.
Right.
I mean, that's how intense it was. But we would come home as if nothing ever happened. And this is what happens to us in life. We have times in our lives, things that we go through, experiences that we have, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. But we just go through them. And we don't give ourselves time to truly meditate and to digest. We keep filling ourselves and filling ourselves. That's the reason why we are all so needy. You know, we're filling ourselves with television,
yes.
filling ourselves with radio, filling ourselves with music, filling ourselves with the things that we read. I mean, our eyes are a gate to the temple. Our ears are a gate to the temple, and we keep filling ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're not taking the proper time to just stop for a minute and meditate and sit in quiet and let us process, even within just our spirit, process what it is that we're going through.
You know,
so we need to learn to do that. Go ahead.
No, because God doesn't have a drive-through service. There's
no, that's tweetable. God doesn't have a drive-through service.
All right. We do have to take our time with this.
Yes.
All
absolutely.
Right. So go right ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to talk for a moment about how we often take a look at the negative things that we go through. And you hear people say, well, God is tempting you. Okay. Mm-hmm. God is tempting you. All right. So John 1:13-14, and I'm not going to read the verse. I want people to go and read the verse themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the verse talks about how God does not tempt us. God is incapable of being tempted by evil.
Right.
There is no evil in God.
Right.
We are tempted,
mm-hmm.
but it's not because God tempted us. God allows us to be tempted, but he doesn't do the tempting.
Amen.
Okay? Let us understand that. God allows us to be tempted, but he doesn't do the tempting. Look at the story of Job and you'll see that.
Right.
He allows the tempting. He allows the testing, but he does not do it himself. He cannot be tempted. There is no evil in him, and he's not going to tempt you to do something that's wrong. Why would he do that? He knows that we are born into sin.
Yes.
So why would he do that? He would not do that. He is all grace, mercy, truth, all those things. Okay?
Right, right.
We, when we are tempted and we fall, it is because we have been led by an evil desire within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is that inherent sin that we are born into. Okay? But thank God that there's a such thing as grace. Right? In Colossians 1, in verse 1, it talks about grace, and it says that grace is spiritual favor and blessing. And if you look at verse 6, it talks about the grace of God in truth, and it says that it is the undeserved favor of God. Where? In reality. It means right now you have the undeserved favor of God. So understand, the Bible also tells us that we will not be tempted for more than we can bear. And it says that there's always a way out of any situation that we are in. Because we have a merciful God who's looking to bring us to him and not away from him. All right?
Mm-hmm.
During this Lenten season, I want you to remember, because a lot of people will say, make sure you repent, make sure you repent, and make sure you repent. God is not looking at your sin. God is looking to draw you closer to him. In fact, if you read John 5, it will tell you that we have already been forgiven.
Right.
All we need to do is to accept that we have been forgiven, accept what the Bible says, that we are his righteousness, accept what the Bible says, that he is living within us, accept that and understand that we have his grace, his spiritual favor, his blessings, his undeserved favor. We already have it.
Mm-hmm.
All we need to do is go out and get it.
Yeah.
So when you go through this Lenten season, don't go through it being sorrowful. Oh, I'm so sorry I did this. I'm such a bad person. No, no, no. Wake yourself up into the reality that you are strong, that you are wise, that you are filled with his presence, that
mm-hmm.
there's nothing you can't overcome. Nothing can defeat you. You have the power of God on your side. God has angels looking out for you. The Holy Spirit is your spirit of truth talking to you and guiding you in the right way.
Amen.
Jesus has already done it, already on the cross. He has healed you. He has put you back in right standing with God. There is nothing that you can't do if you would just call on his name. That's how you need to go through this Lenten season. Go through it to build yourself up, not to break yourself down. It's okay to be broken before the Lord. But be broken before him and build yourself up. Don't be sorrowful, be joyful. Don't be sad, be praiseful. this Woo. Is the way we need to go through this.
Building yourself up, my God. Go ahead.
I know, I'm so excited.
This is real. This is meaty. This is neat. Oh. Solid food for us to chew on because we have gotten so complacent with Lent.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
That this is, when you talk about igniting your faith, this is what Lent is all about.
Yes.
So
it is.
It's igniting your faith. Ooh.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I got chills.
Let's not be so sorrowful, you know?
Yes.
The Lenten season, so let's talk a little bit about what it really is. This is the 40 days of preparation before Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a time of renewal and reawakening. It's a time where we have an opportunity to move our attention to Christ, to the cross, to his love, to his
right.
sacrifice, you know?
Right.
And as Christians, what we do, like we're called to begin to renounce ourselves and follow Christ. Okay? This season serves as a reminder of what we're all called to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The moment that you accept Christ, your job is to keep allowing yourself to die and take him on.
Mm.
This
Amen.
Season is a reminder because we're going to remember at the end. There's a huge celebration at the end of this. All right?
Yes.
That celebration is the true victory of all life.
Amen.
That we have been reconciled to God.
Amen.
That we are in right standing. We are just the way Adam was before the fall. Oh, my God.
Oh, my
if,
God.
If people began to understand the book of Genesis, the very beginning of it all, and understood how powerful Adam and Eve were, oh my, and to understand that this is what Jesus has done, he has quickened us in the natural so that we can be exactly what Adam and Eve was before the first bite of the apple.
Ooh. Whoa. That's
what this season is about.
I know, and I think the power of this season is so grand that it scares people.
Yes.
They're afraid to experience the awesome power of God that comes, as you're talking about, in the season of Lent and that preparation to our great
yes.
celebration.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. Go right ahead, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Lenten season, you know, a lot of times we celebrate, you know, New Year's and we're going to be new, we're going to do all these things. And I know many people have not even thought about those New Year's resolutions that they made, right?
Right.
We haven't, and it's only March,
yes.
okay?
We're
but
not.
The Lenten season for the Christian is an opportunity to make a change. It's a turning point, okay? It's like a coming to a point in a road, you know, when you can no longer go straight, you have to go left or right.
Right.
You have to choose which way to go. And that's what this Lenten season is about. Look, I don't care where you've been weak. I don't care where you've been strong. God can make you stronger, okay? You could be the most devout person always getting it right, and God can make you stronger,
right?
Right? So it doesn't matter how you've been walking at this point. God says, abandon that and look to what I have for you. I have something more. If it was good, I'm going to make it better. If it was great, I'm going to make it astounding. And if it hasn't been so wonderful, you are going to be knocked off your feet because he has some wonderful things in store for you. How do you choose, though? How do you know? Do you turn left? Do you turn right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really know how seriously people take the season, but I'm excited that people are going to participate in it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I really am because it's a season when we can really ignite our faith. So
yes.
How do we choose? How do we choose which way to go? How do we choose if we're left or right? Well, let's talk about that for a moment. I always go back to the Christian arsenal. The things that we use throughout the years that we have taught as Christians are the things that we can begin to start focusing on when we are looking now to move into this Lenten season. Because these things that are our Christian arsenal, the things that are our ammunition against evil, these are the things that God has given us to make sure that we remain in power,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start off with fasting.
All right.
Many people will fast during the Lenten season.
Mm-hmm.
And people are doing it all kinds of ways. Now, the first thing that I'm going to tell you about fasting is a lot of people really should check with their doctors before they fast. They really should. And especially if you're a person that's on medication, you have health conditions and things like that,
mm-hmm.
please check with your doctor
mm-hmm.
before
mm-hmm.
you fast.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
There are many different ways to fast. A lot of people simply just give something up, something that they really enjoy. How many people do you know that are fascinated with chocolate, but they give it up during the Lenten season? It's not easy. You know,
easy.
I hear people give up, they give up red meat, people
yeah.
give up drinking,
mm-hmm.
people give up cigarettes during the season. You know, anything that they consider to be a vice that would be difficult to do, a lot of people give that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some people who do a true fast, you know, of abstaining from food. Some people really will fast for 40 days. I'm not suggesting anyone do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people fast only on Fridays. Some people fast from sun up to sun down or a certain number of hours every day of the Lenten season. If you have never experienced fasting, I can tell you it is definitely one of those spiritual things that you can do that really quickens your faith and your belief in your power as a Christian.
Yes, it does.
So if you've never done it, even if you are a person that's on medication and things like that, I'm going to say give up one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole meal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a vice for fried food.
Yes.
Give it up for the Lord.
Yes.
Give it up for the Lord. Maybe you've been lazy and you know like you really haven't been exercising and you know that, you know, this is something that would be really hard for you to do. Why don't you start exercising? Because that's another thing you could do. Add things to your life.
Yes.
During this season. You know, I read something the other day that I'm definitely going to do. Someone said every day for the 40 days of the Lenten season, they're going to handwrite a note to someone and tell them how important they are in their life.
Mm.
I'm doing that this season. I think that that's phenomenal.
That is phenomenal.
Isn't that phenomenal? I mean, really, I was like, wow, that really blew me away.
Right.
That was fantastic. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. You know, fasting is really about spiritual submission.
Okay.
You know, and when you fast, it helps you discover your true spiritual condition. You know, as you begin to strip away the things of the world, you have more and more of ability to be broken before God. And
yes.
you begin to slowly realize how you've been focusing on things that don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fasting is really amazing. You know, Frank and I did, we used to do the Daniel fast every January.
Okay.
For a few years that we did that. And let me tell you, it's hard. You know, I feel like you can't eat anything.
Right.
You know? But it's the idea of giving up and going inward. You know, see, that's the other part of it. It's not just about giving up, but spending that spiritual time and going inward and hearing what the Spirit is saying and really paying attention to the things that are going on around you. See, fasting is a total sensory thing.
Yes.
Some
it
people
is.
Think that it's just about not eating something, just about
no.
abstaining.
No.
But no, it's also about paying attention to the Spirit and how it's talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about discernment. It's about recognizing these things that are falling off and understanding you didn't need them anyway. See, a lot of times what happens is that we go through the 40 days of fasting only to, on day 41, pick up everything that we have put down.
I was waiting for that.
You know, it's true.
It's so true. It's so really true. And you missed the whole entire experience with God.
Because if you're truly fasting and if you're truly paying attention and moving in the Spirit, by the time you get to day 40, you are so enveloped in this relationship with God and in this cocoon, you are not really willing to come out of it so easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not sitting there on day 40 saying, oh, my God, I need that chocolate so bad.
Right.
You're not saying, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to get a glass of soda.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You're not doing that on day 41 if you've gone through the fast the right way. So
right.
When you're fasting, just make sure that you're handling things in fasting the way you should handle them. Take time out for prayer and meditation. Even if it's just 10, 15 minutes in the morning, 10, 15 minutes at night. I'm
right.
not telling anybody to go crazy and do 2 or 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Most people don't even have that kind of time.
No, right. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But you can spend 10, 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
If you commute by driving, keep your radio off in the car and just pray while you're driving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Communicate with God while you're driving. Don't turn on even Christmas stations. Turn them off. Watch
yeah.
out everything external.
Absolutely.
And allow God to be your riding part.
Ooh, yes. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Just do that if you're driving. Because, you know, you need to find ways to add God in your life. If you have an hour for lunch, take 15 minutes to just be quiet and to yourself and spend some time with God.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that for him. And when you have a break in the afternoon, take another 5 minutes of that break and just spend some quiet time with him. Keep pointing yourself to the throne. Just keep pointing yourself in that way and watch what happens. Even after a week, your life just begins to shift. Okay?
Wow.
So fasting is definitely one way. You know, and remember there's partial fast, there's full fast. Look it up. There is so much information available on the internet about fasting, so many books.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. I mean,
it's,
just look it up. There's so much information out there about fasting. You wanted to say something?
No, I said, but definitely looking up the information about fasting, but I love the point that you made about allowing yourself to enjoy the presence of God
yes.
while you're fasting. And I think that's the true essence. When I fast, that's what you get addicted to. That's what,
yes.
at the end of the 40 days, you're not even thinking about what you gave up because you're so involved and so enveloped in the relationship
right.
that you had. Oh, woo. It's nothing
that's
like
that's
it.
That's absolutely true.
It's nothing
no,
like
nothing.
It.
There really isn't anything like it.
No.
And then when you begin to understand even more about how God is speaking to you,
mm-hmm.
oh, my goodness, it is so powerful.
Yes.
It is so powerful. You know, I will sit there and I will just begin to write, you know, what I believe I hear the Word of God is saying. And when I go back and I read those things later, the favor, the love, the mercy, the grace, the prosperity, oh, how awesome God is.
Yes.
I mean, when the Bible talks about, you know, I have plans for you to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, when you start writing down what God has told you, and just keep it in a notebook, keep it in the same notebook, and put the date on it and the time that God is speaking to you, and write it down. Because, you know what, when you're having a low moment, go back and read that.
Mm-hmm.
And let somebody try to come and destroy that, because that's your personal moment with God. Nothing can shift that.
No.
Nothing can
yeah.
shake it. You know it was your moment with God,
mm-hmm.
and you know what he told you. And when you read it, you know, you'll also find that God gives you instructions and says, okay, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. There is nothing ever that God is going to tell you to do that's going to cause any harm to your life. It's
yes.
always going to cause you to step right into a miracle,
right,
right into a blessing,
right.
right into your overflow.
Yes. Amen.
You know,
amen.
So it's worth it, if nothing else, just for that, to sit and meditate on the Word of God.
Amen.
And listen to what he's saying to you.
Amen.
You know?
Yes.
So another thing that's in our arsenal, prayer.
Right.
You know, it's just a conversation. This is what we've been talking about. But here's the thing about this conversation, about this communication. During the Lenten season, take time out to really just hear.
Right.
A lot of times our prayers are, you know, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I need this. And, you know, this situation is going on and blah, 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 blah. And then we're on the move again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even when we have an opportunity to sit and listen, we might sit and listen for a little while. And then we're on the move again.
Yes, we are.
But during the Lenten season, what we really need to be doing, take some time out and really slow your life down and just listen. What is God saying to you? What is he saying?
Right.
What are you hearing? stop opening your mouth all the time and maybe just hear what he's saying. And here's the other thing. God speaks through many different avenues. He uses people.
Yes.
What are they saying? If you are a person that doesn't want to hear what anybody has to say, I'm going to tell you that Satan is using that stronghold as a vice to keep you from getting whatever it is that God has in mind. It means that God is speaking to other people to you about you.
Right.
Okay?
You're right.
Anytime you have a stronghold in your life, it's because that is an area of breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that, if you feel, I can't stand it when people tell me what to do, I can't stand it when people talk to me all the time, I can't, I'm telling you, there are going to be words that are going to come out of people's mouths.
Yes.
They don't even know they're being used.
No.
Where God
no.
will give you direction.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that stronghold in your life, you will not hear it.
Yes. And
so,
the key is hearing what he's
hearing,
saying.
Yes.
Hearing what he's
in the
saying.
Bible, doesn't it always say, do you have an ear to hear?
Mm-hmm. Let
all throughout the Bible. Do you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches?
Yes. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
We are the church.
And we are the church. We are the church.
Do you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church?
What is he saying?
We are the church. What is the Lord saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So take your time out, seriously. You will not regret it. Take your time out and hear what he has to say. And understand that also this Lenten season, because we're moving in a place of power and looking at the throne, it's an opportunity for all strongholds to be broken off of us. You know, when you focus on God and you're spending time in the Word, you're spending time trying to digest the Word and develop that relationship with Him, strongholds in your life will break and fall away without you doing anything.
Yes.
Why? Because evil cannot exist in the place of glory.
Oh, I like that.
So if yes, that's tweetable. Evil cannot exist in the place of glory. I'm going to say that again.
Yes.
As I write it down also. Evil cannot exist in the place of glory. So really, think about it. What better place to hang out?
You're so on point. You're very...
Really? What better place is there to hang out?
Exactly.
If people cannot exist in a place of glory, then hang out at the throne.
Yes. Yes.
Make Jesus and the Holy Spirit your partners. Hang out with them.
So hang out
because
at the throne.
Here's what I want people to understand. All right, because we get all tripped up when we mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how can I explain this? All right. If you get a headache, you know that the remedy for a headache quite often is found in a little pill.
You're right.
Some people don't want to take the pill.
True.
Fine. Keep the headache. Some people don't mind taking the pill for a headache.
Mm-hmm.
They take the pill and then they're healed. It is the same thing with what Jesus did for us. When you do something wrong and you know that you're wrong, accept the forgiveness of the Lord that's
right.
already there.
Right.
Get up and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Walk back in his righteousness again. God does not put you in purgatory. He does
right.
not put you in timeout.
Mm-mm.
He does not punish you.
No.
He just continues to bless you. So you know what you do? Here's the thing. Our blessings come as our maturity continues. God can only bless you to the level of your maturity.
Yes.
Okay? So you're not going to get blessed in a way and suddenly... because you do something wrong, God's going to strip that thing from you. No. He already knows that what he gave you, you're capable of handling it. Whether or not you choose to live up to that is up to you.
Yes.
Okay?
I'm with
you.
So
when you fall, and when I say when you fall, when you do something wrong, when you sin, all right, just accept the forgiveness and keep on moving. Understand that Satan does not have the right to condemn you. As a child of God, you belong to God, and only he has the right to condemn you, and he says he's not going to do that.
Right.
So you can't lose.
You can't lose. This is a win-win situation.
This is a sure bet.
Yes, it is.
You
it
should
is.
Not lose. All right? So when you're moving in the spirit, there are certain things that can't go in certain places. All right, let's talk about this in the natural for a moment. When you go to an amusement park, there are many different kinds of rides to ride on, but you have to be of a certain height in order to get on a lot of these rides.
Right.
Okay? If you can't, if you're not a certain height, then they say, you're not ready for this one. This one is for the big guys only.
Right.
Okay? All right. Same thing with God. All right? Same thing in the spirit. And same thing with evil. All right? God only allows you to be tempted according to what you can bear. So he's not going to let something come on you that's going to be able to take you away and kill you. He's not going to do that.
Right, right.
All right? They also have to go by the height requirement.
I like that. Exactly.
Yes.
They do. They do.
Satan can't just do what he wants. If he did, no. We'd all be dead, right?
We will be dead. We will be
You have to understand
yes.
that.
Yes.
You know, there's a spiritual world out there, and we have angels that are there to protect us, and they are protecting us all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Satan cannot bum rush you, sneak up on you, and knock you out and take your stuff. That is not how it works.
No, and it's because, and get into your word, because God said to Satan, you can do whatever you want, but you can't kill them.
That's right.
It's even in the
that's
word.
Right. If you look at Job,
that's
exactly
where I'm
what God
from.
Said
mm-hmm.
to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want to him, but you cannot take his life.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with God. When you are in the place of worship and praise, there are certain spirits, evil spirits, that just cannot tolerate it. And the more you worship and praise and study and walk in the presence of God and his understanding, the more entities cannot live in that. And so anything that has attached itself to you that is not right will have to fall at some point, because it must fall at their knees at the presence of God.
Yes.
The Bible tells us every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, evil cannot rank over that.
No.
So they can attempt to exalt themselves by causing you to lose focus as you focus on the wrong thing. But the moment you turn your eyes to the throne, your attention to the throne, your will and your nature to the throne, when you start allowing yourself to not only understand the word of God, but to accept it and to live by it,
mm-hmm.
certain things simply have to fall away from you. And then what happens? God's unmerited power, his unmerited grace, his unmerited glory, it all comes following you. His favor begins to overtake you because you're living in that realm of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? That's what this Lenten season can do for you if you allow it to.
Yes.
It can usher you in to the throne room of God. And then don't you understand that the presence of God is like the wind? Everything blows along with it.
Amen. Yes.
And so when he blows a blessing upon you, everything you need to maintain that blessing and that lifestyle, all of that stuff goes with it.
Right.
There are times in your life where you'll be so powerful, there's nothing you can't do. Everything you do, you'll succeed.
You succeed.
It will frustrate people. Yeah. And eventually people will have to say, what is up with you?
And
how
that,
do you keep doing this?
Yes.
And that's your ministry opportunity right
yes.
there.
Yes, and that's
you say
the
that
whole
you
point.
Do it by the grace of God.
Absolutely.
By the favor of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that way he gets the praise and the glory. People don't understand when it says that, you know, that all praise and glory goes to God. He makes situations to a point where he blesses you that you can't do anything but give him the glory, because you can't
right.
explain how it happened. You don't know.
No, exactly. In the past, I would say 5 years, I have learned with regard to work, I got this, I'm clear. I do not go looking for a job. I accept what God has given me.
Right.
I just know that he's there, and I
mm-hmm.
know that he's opening the path and the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I could just figure that out for the rest of my life, oh my God, it'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Our shows would be different too.
Oh my goodness, can you imagine? So the other thing that we use in our arsenal, our Christian arsenal, we always talk about praise.
Yes.
Right? We always talk about praise. When blessings go, when praises go up, blessings come down is what we always say.
Yes.
Praise really gets you into a place with God, because the reason why it works so well is because when you start praising God, your entire focus shifts from that in the natural, from where you're sitting literally, to just being with Him. You start forgetting about all the things that you're going through, and you begin to recognize the magnitude of the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter what it is that you're going through, when you just start thinking about how great He is, when you think about how He created every star in heaven, in every galaxy that exists, when you think about the fact that He took the world that was in chaos and straightened it out and separated the land from the water and created the heavens and He created the earth and every tree that exists, every bug that exists, every animal that exists, every person, and how He created man and put man together with all of the things that it takes to create one body, every cell, every vein, every artery, every muscle.
Mm-hmm.
God did that.
Right.
When you think about the creative intelligence that it takes to do all of that, and then to still sit in a place where you can be everywhere at one time and involved in everything that's going on, it blows your mind.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
And you start thinking about the fact that an entity that powerful is thinking about you and loves you so much that He just wants to make a way for you. It is a humbling experience.
Yes, it is.
No matter what it is that you are going through in your life, when you realize that God wants nothing more than for you to be successful,
mm-hmm.
and that He is on your side, and that you don't have to fight your battles. If you just learn how to give them to Him, He's got you.
Yes, I got this.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about turning a rainy day into sunshine.
Yes, every day.
All right?
Every
when you
day.
Start thinking about that, that in itself can give you praise.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the things that you have been protected from in your life, when I think about how dumb I was when I was younger, you know, I was just dumb.
I was too.
Think about the things that you did, the places you went, the people you entertained, how your life could have been different if you got caught up out there, but God. You know that nothing but God saved you from the chaos and the craziness of your young, immature life.
Yes, because you find yourself in some situations that,
some situations, and you think, you know, you look, let me tell you, think about when God went, and because of Abraham, He went and saved Lot and his family.
Right.
Right? Like, they were in some situations out there in Sodom and Gomorrah,
mm-hmm.
with all that, all those sexual things going on,
yeah.
you know, people doing whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just a hedonistic place.
Yeah.
Okay? And God says, you know what? I'm going to take you right up out of there. Just don't look back.
Don't look back.
Don't want it. Don't love it. That's what happens to people who get caught out there. Those are the people, I believe, they look back.
Mm-hmm.
They looked back and they went back with longing,
mm-hmm.
because they wanted to do it again. They said, you know what? I'm just going to go in there one more time.
I'm going to smoke
this drug one more time.
Yeah.
I'm going to rob this store one more time.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal this thing one more time. And then they get caught out there,
mm-hmm.
because they have lost now the provision of God. God says, look, I'm going to save you from that, but I'm going to take you out of that. I'm going to transport you from that place to this place. Just don't look back. Change your heart, change your mind, move forward in what I give to you, and watch, I'm going to satisfy you even more than before.
Amen.
See, the thing about God is that He gives you true satisfaction. He will satisfy you more than before. He satisfies that itch within, that deep within your soul that you were trying to satisfy with the things that man can give you. But only God can scratch the surface of that itch.
Right.
Only God can satisfy it. So when you think about praise, it's very easy to praise Him. You know, one of the things that I'm doing during the Lenten season is that I'm waking up in the morning, and instead of, you know, usually the first thing I say is, God, thank you for another day,
mm-hmm.
and thank you when I haven't gotten a phone call in the middle of the night that something bad has happened, I thank him for that.
Right.
But now I'm just quiet. And I start thinking of the faces of people in my life. And I just within myself to start saying, thank you, God.
Right.
And I see my mother, thank you, God. I see my father, thank you, God. And I see my brother, thank you, God. And I see my nieces and nephews, my extended family, thank you, God.
Right.
Then I start seeing that I have a house of my own. Thank you,
thank
God.
Thank you, God.
You know, when I think about the fact that I actually have some money in my bank account today, thank you, God. I have a job to go to, thank you, God. I can get up and walk on my feet, thank you, God. I mean, before I know it, I'm just thinking all this, but before I know it, I'm saying, hallelujah, I praise you, I give you honor, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I'm so humble. I praise you, Father. You can't help it because I realize that there is absolutely nothing that I have that did not come from his hands. It might have come through the hands of someone else, but it's because he went that way to get it to you.
Yes, he did.
He went that way to get. I never really know where my blessings are coming from, but I know they're coming.
They're coming.
And I look for them every day. And I wake up and I'm just saying, thank you.
Thank you.
It might be cold outside, but I'm warm. Thank you. Somebody's hungry, but I'm not. Thank you.
Maybe
I'm hungry, but I can satisfy that. I thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, if you thank God for the small thing, he can give you so much more.
Yes, he can.
But
yes,
just learn to be grateful.
Right.
You know, and just learn. Praise ignites faith. You begin to look at the victories that you've had in life. And that starts making you a little bit stronger. You start saying, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. This thing is not going to defeat me. I got through some tough stuff. You know, God was on my side before. He's still on my side. Oh, this is not a problem. You know what? It's going to be a great day. Life is not so bad.
Yeah.
It might take me a little bit of time, but it's okay. At the end of the day, I'm the one who's victorious.
Yeah, exactly. And the victory is guaranteed.
Victory is guaranteed. Oh, my
guaranteed.
God. Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome. Think about it, people. Think about it. The victory is guaranteed. Why are we afraid to let go and fall into praise?
There's no reason to have fear.
Yeah, none. Just let go.
No.
And just as you're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, it does escalate because you're calling him into your presence.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're realizing, you feel him there, you get your hairs on your arms start to stand up.
Yeah, you feel it.
You feel it.
The energy in the room.
Yes, it does.
When I'm on the phone with you and, you know, I'm doing this show, the energy in my space just shifts.
Right.
I can feel the presence of God.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that people can feel the presence coming through the airwaves.
Yes, our earnest prayer is that they can feel it. But you know, whenever there's truth spoken, whether you're listening to this live or you're listening to this later, it's the truth that is being spoken that brings the presence of God into our space. So,
absolutely,
they feel it. Absolutely. Go.
Okay, so something else in our arsenal as people of Christ, sacrifice and giving.
Come on.
We know that. That's something that you're taught to do as a child. You would go into the church with a few pennies and put that in the basket. Sacrifice and giving. But how about, you know, some people, I'm just going to say it, some people just have issues with giving money.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm not trying to fight that fight. I'm really not.
No.
But you know what? Give where you can give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's something that you have in your house that you really know you don't really need that, or maybe somebody really likes that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give it away? Can you
Please.
Give it to someone
Please.
Who can use it? You know, can you go through your closets and get rid of some of those clothes that you know you haven't worn in 3 years and actually give it away? Because somebody could use those and
mm-hmm.
make some more room in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, it works that way.
It
you
does.
Do something and then it still works for you. See, this is how God, how God does.
Yep.
You hold out, you take your full hand. And you take that stuff and you empty it out,
mm-hmm.
and then God fills your hands again. That's how it works.
And that is exactly how it works.
Give something away. Volunteer.
Yeah.
Do something for someone else.
Yes.
You know? Like I told you, I'm going to be writing that note once a day to someone and letting them know, you know what, you've been a tremendous asset in my life. There are some people that I think that I have encountered in my life that have no idea that they are people that really guided me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
And I want them to know that. I want them to know how important they were, how pivotal some of the conversations we might have had have been in my life, how it moved me closer to God and caused me to be the woman that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I want some people to know that. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be doing that. And I think that, you know, if you could just write a few notes during the Lenten season, place a few phone calls, send a few emails, let people know how you value them in their life. It doesn't even cost you anything.
No, it's absolutely
What does it cost you? I mean, people have cell phones with unlimited service all the time.
Right.
What does it cost you to place a phone call or
Nothing.
Send an email?
Nothing.
I want you to know that I appreciate that conversation we had,
mm-hmm.
you know, 5 years ago.
Right. You know, and that gives you a God opportunity to give that person confirmation that they obeyed. See, they talk to you and they said the things that they said to touch your life because they were placed in your life just to do that. So when you turn around and acknowledge it, you're giving them confirmation as well that I obeyed, I did good, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's a wonderful thing to do.
Absolutely.
And I haven't said what I'm doing. I'm doing, for Lent, I am doing every morning meditation. I take 15 minutes in the morning and do nothing but meditate. I don't answer the prayer line. I don't answer the phone. I don't answer anything. And, you know, everyone said, okay, this is going to be easy for me to do. But it's the hardest thing. There's been so many distractions that I have to force myself to take that time out. When I've always had that time, but now all of a sudden I'm too busy to do it. So it takes effort.
Go ahead.
No, it just takes the effort to when you start giving things up to Lent.
Well, you know, no, I'm glad that you said that because I think that that's probably something very important for people to know. The moment that you start doing something that's going to bring you closer to God, trust me that Satan does whatever he can to interrupt that focus.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start trying to, you know, study or pray the word or meditate during a time that you typically would have had quiet time, something always comes in to start disrupting it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you start hearing noises, maybe someone in your house or next door to you starts getting up at a different time.
You're right.
Like, it's always something. Your phone rings for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All kinds of things come to distract you. And you just have to remain focused and diligent.
Yes.
To do that is that thing that you had set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of what I was going to say, too. Studying the word is something that you can do that you haven't been doing on a regular basis.
Listen,
I'm not telling people do this every day for 40 days. You may not be able to do that. But can you celebrate the fact that you did it once out of the week?
Mm-hmm.
You ordinarily would not have done it at all.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we put so much pressure on ourselves. Oh, we're going to do this for 40 days. And the first day that you mess up, you want to throw your hands up in the air and not do it anymore. No, it's okay. Just go to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
God is celebrating the successes.
Yes, he is.
He's not looking at the failures.
No.
So if you study for 7 days out of the 40, that's seven more days than what you studied before.
Mm-hmm.
We're good here.
Yeah, we're good.
When I was reading Colossians 1, there's something that I'm going to start praying for myself and for people every day during this time period. And as a matter of fact, I think we might want to end there. Maybe not have to. But Colossians 9 and 10, I'm just going to pull that up real quick.
Okay.
And if anybody is listening, if you want to go to Colossians 9 and 10, please do. It is a very powerful verse of scripture where Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians. And he's saying, hey, this is what I'm praying for you. You know, he's excited that they're, you know, that they're there and that they're learning to be of God and all that kind of stuff, and that nothing is persuading them to be different. So here is what it says, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version.
Okay.
Version. Again, this is Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. And it says, for this reason, we also, from the day we heard it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking, and this is what he's praying, that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of his will,
mm-hmm.
in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Verse 10, that you may walk, live, and conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the word, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition.
Wow.
I'm going to read verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father who is qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light.
Mm.
How powerful is that?
That is awesome.
That's my prayer for the Lenten season. As I pray for people, you know, and I'm going to say this to all of you who are listening. During the Lenten season, just start praying for random people. And I'm not saying run up to people on the street, hold their hands, and start praying. I'm just saying. You don't have to do all of that. You know? Maybe you don't. You know, because some people think you need to do that. I need to see that. You need to do that. You don't take all of that.
We never know
so
what it is.
Maybe when you're praying, you know, God might bring a person to mind. Pray for that person.
Right. Yes.
You know, keep a running list of names of people. In my planner, I make my own planning pages, and every day there's a line that says, pray for blank. And
right.
I put the names of the people that I'm praying for that particular day,
mm-hmm.
or the things in particular that I'm praying for that day. But during this Lenten season, you know, God has impressed me upon my heart. I start thinking about different people I've seen. You know, it could be the guy that was high on the corner. Like, he was so high, he was sleeping. You know, standing up. You know, pray for him.
Pray for him.
You know, pray for the homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for that person that was working behind the counter that served you today. See, people have things going on in their lives. We don't know what's going on.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, thank God for God that he has people that are diligent to hear him and that are willing to intercede on behalf of their brothers and sisters. Because, you know what, that person might be a drug addict right now. But that person might be saved. And God is saying, you know what? They're not operating the way I want them to operate. But I'm going to cause people that don't even know them to pray for their situation that they might be saved on this side of the kingdom and not only when they die.
Right.
Had not people prayed for me when I was going through my difficult time, I really don't know where I would be.
I know that
there are people that prayed for me. And I'm asking that all of us, we begin to pray for other people also.
Yes. It's a requirement. It's just required as a Christian to pray for those. But pray for other people.
Don't criticize, but pray.
Pray. Pray. You know, I love that. Don't criticize, but pray. And don't criticize them in your prayer. You know?
Oh, please. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I forgot we have to say that.
We have to say that. This is our disclaimer for the day. Okay, do not criticize when you're praying for people. Yet, hold them up and lift them up to the Lord and only ask for good. And only let good and pleasing things come out of your mouth, period. So that's all I have to say on that subject. This has been so powerful.
Praise God for that, right?
Yes.
He's always powerful.
He's always powerful. And, you know, I always enjoy your segments. There's so much that you say, and I encourage people to definitely listen to this again. Don't let this be a one-time thing, because there's so much that you can miss listening to it the first time. share it with a friend, listen to it with a friend, tell someone about it. But when you get good word, you need to spread it. Amen?
Yes.
All right. All right. Did you have any closing comments for our audience?
You know what? I just want to say to everyone that's been listening, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, people have been following the show. The show continues to grow. I know that it's nothing but the anointing and the grace and the favor of God. And I pray that whatever it is that they've heard, that it might be a blessing to their lives and those that they encounter. And just keep keeping the faith, keep believing, never, ever, ever distrust God, and just keep moving forward in the faith and watch what happens.
Oh, wonderful. If people want to get in contact with you, Kim, they can give them your Twitter.
My Twitter is Coach Kimberly H.
Okay.
And at Coach Kimberly H is my Twitter.
And that's also an Ignite the Spirit Facebook page that you can join. You can reach her at khorvath@journeyhomeministries.org, or you can just go to the ministry's website, www.journeyhomeministries.org, and you have all the contact information and also can have access to the show. Kimberly, this was absolutely wonderful. I'm glad that God healed this for 1 week because it was worth it.
Yes. It was worth it, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah, I have to listen to this again for myself.
Yes, absolutely. And your next show will be April the 12th, and we look forward to see what God has to speak to you then about. So, on that note, I wish you a wonderful weekend.
You do the same.
Okay, and to all of our listeners, may God continue to bless you. May his joy shine upon you, and may he give you peace. Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, and I'll talk to you soon. See you next month.
All right, take care.
Next month. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.